Morning, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined shortly this morning by Jackie Petru of the Council on Domestic Relations. We're going to be discussing the Council for National Policy, the CNP, what it is, who's behind it, what it means for you and me, as well as some other compelling issues for the day as Jackie outlines them for us at a little bit later on this morning. Brief show or news summary. Before we introduce Jackie, after the first commercial break, there was a rocket that struck the U.S. Embassy in Athens, Greece today. It's still being determined as to who might be behind this. Somewhat serious attack, I guess, in terms of the physical damage to the structure of the building. That's about all we know from CNN today, but certainly this would seem to be related to some of the things going on, both with Mr. Bush's speech a couple of nights ago, as well as some of the reactions to that speech that are coming up on Capitol Hill. Very clear in looking at CNN today, isn't it, that the United States Congress is quite nervous about what Mr. Bush is talking about. Between his warnings to Iran and Syria and the speech two nights ago, and then the arrest of six Iranians in Iraq by U.S. troops raised some eyebrows Thursday. Senators are now warning Mr. Bush against widening the war, and widening the war specifically to Iran. Senator Joseph Biden, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, warned Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice that Bush did not have the authority to send U.S. troops on cross-border raids. Quote, I believe that the present authorization granted the president to use force in Iraq does not cover that, and he does need congressional authority to do that, unquote, Biden, Democrat Delaware, said during a Thursday hearing on Iraq. Quote, I just want to set that marker, unquote. Rice did not directly reply, according to CNN, to Biden's remark, but she said the country expects Bush to, quote, do what is necessary to protect our forces, unquote. Biden sent a follow-up letter to the White House after Thursday's hearing, calling on Bush to explain his position. In his Wednesday night speech announcing the deployment of more than 20,000 additional troops to Iraq, Bush blamed Iraq's neighbors for stoking the violence there and accused Iran in particular of, quote, providing material support for attacks on American troops, unquote. Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican from Nebraska, said Rice's responses had echoes of the debate over the Vietnam War when the Nixon administration denied U.S. troops were conducting raids into neighboring Cambodia to stop the flow of weapons to South Vietnam's communist insurgency. Hagel, a veteran of that war, called Bush's plan, quote, the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam, unquote. It's interesting today that as we analyze these statements and some of the responses coming out of the American national security community, I would say that this is a far more dangerous situation than the Vietnam War. The consequences for catastrophe are far greater, and quite clearly when we look at what Mr. Buchanan has been telling us at antiwar.com in regard to the significance of Admiral William Fallon's appointment to take over CENTCOM in a move from CINCPAC in the Pacific, having a Navy admiral at the head of CENTCOM suggests that someone with a background in naval aerial aviation operations and someone who knows how to protect sea lanes is behind this CENTCOM appointment. And that would suggest that something big is brewing with Iran. That's in conjunction with what Debka has reported in the last 48 hours, that a third American aircraft carrier task force group had joined two other ones in the Persian Gulf region, probably with the idea in mind of protecting the Straits of Hormuz and provoking who knows what else. This is on top of course, some extremely inflammatory things that continue to come out of Israel in regard to potentially attacking Iran. And these latest statements of General Odeh in the last couple of days reported out of Baku, Azerbaijan, that the Israelis were planning to do something in conjunction with Azerbaijan in attacking Iran, suggests that additional things are afoot that we need to watch in the days and the hours ahead. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Jackie Petru when we return. Stay tuned.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today in just a minute is going to be Jackie Petru of the Council on Domestic Relations. We're going to be talking about the Council for National Policy, among other things. What is the CNP? What role does it play in the American right wing? Who's behind it? What are the ideological presuppositions of this rather dark, murky group? And what does it mean for those of us who are a part of the American right that is not involved with this organization? We're going to be discussing that, among many other things, in just a minute. But I wanted to follow up on the news summary by simply saying that as you look at these establishment stories today coming out of CNN and Reuters and the Washington Post and the New York Times, it becomes abundantly clear that Capitol Hill is getting increasingly nervous with the implications of Mr. Bush's policies, both in terms of adding the 20,000 to 21,000 troops in Baghdad and in Anbar province in western Iraq, as well as these cross-border incursion policies, which, as Senator Hagel pointed out yesterday, are very reminiscent of the sort of thing that was going on with the Nixon administration in Cambodia a generation and a half ago in Southeast Asia. But it seems as well that when you look at the whole issue of what Mr. Bush is up to with Iran, and whether or not the United States administration is planning a preemptive attack on Iran in conjunction with Israel, becomes abundantly clear that there are only a couple of ways now of dealing with this, it seems to me. Senator Feingold of Wisconsin, the Democrat from Wisconsin, is the one person up there right now who has openly called for a cessation of funding for these operations that are taking place and a cessation of funding for the latest escalation or surge that Mr. Bush is recommending and directing that will take place in Iraq shortly. It seems to me that that's one of only two alternatives here. The other one is impeachment. So watch for funding and issues of funding and appropriation, and the other is articles of impeachment. Short of that, Harry Reid and Hillary Clinton and Ted Kennedy and all of these other folks can say anything that they want to in regard to the direction that they think Mr. Bush's foreign policy is headed in. It ultimately will head in that direction if there is not more concrete action taken in the United States Senate and in the United States House of Representatives to deal with this question. And again, Russ Feingold up in Wisconsin certainly gets it in terms of the funding issue and the funding pipeline. The other thing, of course, would be the consideration of articles of impeachment. But between the Fallon appointment to CENTCOM and his transfer from CINCPAC and the deployment of a third U.S. aircraft carrier task force group in the Persian Gulf region, and now some of these emanations coming out of Azerbaijan and Kurdistan and Khuzestan province in Iran, it becomes abundantly clear that the American CIA and the British MI6 and the Israeli Mossad are up to all kinds of things that amount to a continued escalation against the government of Iran, involving covert operations, economic harassment, and of course, finally now we're seeing the beginnings of a major military deployment to that region, which suggests that maybe in coming weeks there are going to be some very serious fireworks. Jackie Petru, how are you?
Mark, I'm very well, and I'm very awake.
Hey, well, we're both fighting that, aren't we?
It's early in the morning.
I've moved to an earlier time segment, and as you and I were talking about a little bit yesterday, we both have a history of being night owls as far as staying up late and reading and doing all these other things. So suddenly being involved in this 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central time segment or 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. your time, Eastern time, is a kind of a whole new ball game for both of us.
Yeah.
And what do you think before we get into a discussion of the Council on National Policy and some of the other items of interest that you're an acknowledged expert in? What is your reading about what is going on in this Middle Eastern situation?
Well, you know, I was listening to that, and as I was listening, it's all contrived. You know, when they say, oh, well, you know, they've got all of these congressional, you know, senators and representatives, and they're all speaking out about it. They're all blackmailed. They're all... they're all under the control, if you would, of whoever it is that does all the blackmailing and et cetera. But they have to have opposition. That's part of the Hegelian dialectic, Mark. And you've got to have opposition in order to move forward. And I don't know if it's okay with you, but while I was listening, you know, I can't listen to CNN anymore. I used to subscribe to it. I have a big dish. And a satellite, you know, I'm still in the dark ages, but I just refuse to get one of those little, what do they call them, slave dishes, where
yes.
You cannot choose what you're going to be watching. But I subscribe to CNN, and once you're aware, so aware, it's almost like you're looking at everything with the bird's eye view, the overall picture. And I would listen to CNN and watch it, and within 5 minutes, I'd start getting actually literally nauseous because you hear the lies. You hear every lie that they say. And I don't know if this is okay with you, but
sure.
While this was on, I grabbed my book, The Protocols, and I don't know who wrote this, but I do know this. I mean, it's historically that this thing was written at least 100 years ago. So whoever wrote it, the plan was laid out very well. And one of the things I had circled here is in Protocol Number 7, they said we have the power whenever we like to create disorder or to restore it. And this is the one that really blew me away 100 years ago. they said, well, they were talking about the great their great power of the press, which they said, with a few exceptions that may be disregarded, is already entirely in our hands. In a word, to sum up our system of keeping the governments in check, we shall show our strength to one of them by terrorist attempts, and to all, if we allow the possibility of a general rising against us, we shall respond with the guns of America or China or Japan. That was 100 years ago, and this thing was originally published, or I think they in the art, it was at the London Museum. It was actually registered there in 1906, and this is, the protocols are a chapter of a book, and they were translated, this particular chapter, into English in around 1920. And so that long ago, they're already saying that if anybody tries to rise against us, we will respond with the guns of America or China or Japan. And then there's just one more here I wanted to share. This gets me, I don't know, it does something inside me. You know, in that solar plexus place where our feelings are, Mark?
Yeah, I've been hit there a number of times.
Yeah, honey.
No, go ahead.
This says, it is from us that the all-engulfing terror proceeds. We have in our service persons of all opinions, of all doctrines, restorating monarchists, demagogues, socialists, communists, and utopia dreamers of every kind. We have harnessed them all to the task. Each one of them, on his own account, is boring away at the last remnants of authority, is striving to overthrow all established form of order. By these acts, listen to this, all states are in torture. They exhort to tranquility. They're ready to sacrifice everything for peace, but we shall not give them peace until they openly acknowledge our international supergovernment and with submission.
Yes, so as we look at this whole...
100 years ago.
Yes. So we are, in fact, apparently looking at something where we're talking about controlled opposition, where we're looking about sinister hidden forces that are manipulating these events and are using some of these individual players who are involved in this public posturing. Who do you think are the ultimate forces behind all of this? Clearly, the end game would seem to be the creation of a one-world supergovernment.
Yeah.
Who do you think are the real ultimate forces that are behind this?
Well, I don't know. It has been said, and this doesn't sound like a real reach to me, that those that are out front, the people that we know, that we think, you know, we look at the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the international bankers and et cetera, but that they're as controlled as, more controlled even than we are. In other words, we believe they're the controllers. And beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if it's a force that maybe is other dimensional. I mean, there's got to be connections, though, and contacts and somebody making the decisions. Today, you know, there's a politically correct word called neocons. And we know that the Congress is, and the U.S. government, period. Of course, it's a corporation itself. It's not our government. I never refer anymore to the U.S. government as our government, because it isn't and it never has been. But we see that many of those who are in control refer to themselves as Jews. I don't know what a Jew is. And I'm not saying this as an anti-Semite, because, first of all, my beloved, my Chuck, that passed away 4 years ago, his mom was a Jew, and so therefore, I mean, that, you know, I loved him with all my heart, and he was the kindest and most wonderful person that I have ever known in my life. So all I'm saying is what they call themselves. Many of them are like Dov Sockheim, who was the controller of the Pentagon Treasury.
Yes.
And $1.3 trillion came up missing. He was a dual Israeli-American citizen and an ordained rabbi, a Hasidic rabbi. So I think that...
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priest of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Jackie Petro, who is the head of something called the Council on Domestic Relations. You can find Jackie's website at www.sweetliberty.org or by writing the Council on Domestic Relations at P.O. Box 190.
Mark, I'm sorry, honey. That address is no longer.
Is defunct? Okay, well, we won't read it.
And the CDR is also. The CDR was an organization that we started back in 93.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And by the end of 95, we had a national networking organization. And by the end of 95, I was out of money. And what we did for those 93, 94, and through 95 was network with people, stop the CONCON resolutions within the states, were able to get the Conference of States stopped, which was a backdoor attempt for a CONCON that they were going to hold in historic Philadelphia. And our website started out as the CDR, but it's now Sweet Liberty.
Okay, so we'll simply call it Sweet Liberty, and people can find that again at www.sweetliberty.org. Well, Jackie, as you watch this whole thing unfold in regard to what seems to be a foreign policy of perpetual war for perpetual peace, and as we look at the role of central banking and multinational corporations in what some people would argue is the virtual ownership of the United States government, and as we look toward what has happened in the last 5 or 6 years in particular, not that it wasn't going on before then, but just in the last 5 or 6 years, the movement toward what many people argue is the creation of a domestic federal police state, talking about the USA Patriot Acts 1 and 2 and the Military Commissions Act of 2006, the revelations about the NSA surveillance program and so forth and so on. Where do you think, ultimately, that all of this is heading, and is there anything that can be done to stop it?
Well, I'm not a prophet, and I don't have a crystal ball. We see what their intention is. We see, you know, that their desire is to control the world. I mean, every aspect of the world and every aspect of our lives, including the food and the water and the very air we breathe. And I do know, Mark, that with our Creator, all things are possible. And I don't, if I was hopeless, number one, I've spent the last 15 years of my life, literally, sharing, you know, with others on the radio broadcast and now on our website, what I have learned over these years. And I would not be getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning to be a guest on your broadcast if I felt it was hopeless, but I have absolutely no idea how far it'll go or what'll happen. But I do know that this plan, I mean, even in the protocols, they talk about 2,000 years that this plan has been underway. And there's a speech that was given by a Rabbi Rabinovich. I don't know if the speech is true or not, but he mentions 2,500 years. Our plan that we have, you know, been working towards for 2,500 years is ready to reach its fruition. That was somewhere back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And as long as they've been working at this over and over and over again, something has prevented them from being fully successful. And I stand in that place, Mark.
Yes, so we simply have to... We simply have to occupy, and we simply have to do the best that we can, obviously, in the midst of a situation where, as we are now in the 21st century, we could be seeing the final results of the attempt to implement this plan, which I personally believe is at least 2,000 years old.
Uh-huh.
How does this so-called Council for National Policy fit into this? You know, I had first discovered the existence of this organization through something that someone sent me quite some time ago, quite a long time ago, actually, on the Internet. I began looking at it with what little is known about it. They apparently do not have their own website on the
worldwide.
But in terms of the Council for National Policy, it has been suggested that you have a group of very significant people on the public American right wing who belong to this organization, and it is alleged that they are the right-wing counterpart to the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission. Is that accurate? And what is the agenda of this group, as near as you can tell?
I think so. I think what you just said is so. That, in fact, I was looking at an article earlier this morning that's on our website. We have some information, quite a bit of information, on the Council for National Policy at sweetliberty.org. in our section titled Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. And there's one article at the bottom of that section by this Charles Kendall, who I found out later was a phony too, but anyway, he said it right. He said, if the CNP meets in secret and performs no public educational charitable works, how can it maintain 501c3 tax-exempt status? It strikes us as a domestic variant of the Bilderbergers, another extremely powerful and secret group of world leaders.
We will be back with Jackie Petru. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, in the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself, or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Back. This is Mark Gancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jackie Petru, and you can find her website at sweetliberty.org. And among other things this morning, we're talking about something called the Council for National Policy. Jackie, I was looking at some information on your site about the Council for National Policy.
Uh-huh.
There are a number of names and names of organizations that come up with this. Nelson Bunker Hunt, William Herbert, the John Birch Society and the Western Goals Foundation, the late Larry McDonald, the late Democratic congressman from Georgia, something called the Belmont Brotherhood. I see Howard Phillips, the chairman of the Conservative Caucus, mentioned in all of this, and the article kind of goes on and on. What is your understanding about the basic history of this organization, the implications of its funding, who some of these individuals are that keep coming up in the literature on this organization, and what do you see as their ultimate agenda?
Well, Betty Mills, I told you about that. I believe I mentioned Betty Mills to you yesterday.
Yes.
I met Betty during 1992 when I was campaigning for Bogrites. And I found out, of course, that that was a whole phony thing also. But I Betty's name came up in a conversation. I asked the gal I was talking to, who is she? And she said she's a wonderful lady that lives in Indiana, and she just knows so much, and et cetera. I asked for her phone number, called Betty, and we began a long, decade-long love affair, if you would. And you know the way I mean that. She became a wonderful friend and my mentor, and as I said, almost a surrogate mom. We never met in person. We had hundreds of hours of conversation. Betty was way, way out front. She saw things that nobody saw when they would first happen, and she was very, very involved. You know, back in her era, most of the women stayed home. They were able to be moms and housewives and et cetera, so they had time to become involved politically. And because I'm not a feminist and give all the credit to women, but at that time there were a lot of women who were really standing watch. And Betty said, the way she said it, she said that people blame the liberals for everything. And she said, the only thing I can say is this, that these conservative / Christian conservative leaders of so many of these organizations have held the doors wide open for them.
Yes, and looking at this whole post on your website at sweetliberty.org, which talks about the Council for National Policy, and of course this particular article has a number of footnotes in it, but I'm looking at one sentence that appears in this post that indicates that the Council for National Policy, or CNP, is considered the primary coordinating body and funding conduit for Christian right projects.
Uh-huh.
What are the implications of this in regard to the money trails and some of the associations and organizations that are mentioned in this post? What role do you see, what role does Betty see, some of these mainstream Christian right groups as playing in an agenda that's frankly quite different from what most of its supporters might imagine?
Well, it could be summed up as controlled opposition. In other words, they pretend that they're out there opposing what is going on, and they do oppose certain things. But see, think about this. First of all, I believe it was 1983 when the CMP was founded, allegedly by Tim LaHaye. I say that he was just a front man. And Paul Weyrich is the name. Now, there is an article in that section you're looking in, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Paul Weyrich was, as I called him, the grand poobah, like, you know, Fred Flintstone was the grand poobah of his lodge. Paul Weyrich was the top man in these organizations and at the CMP. I had Reverend Austin Miles on the air with me several times. He had been invited to join the CNP, and he said he was so proud and thrilled that he was invited to join an organization with so many wonderful and out there, out front people. And he said it took me just a couple or three meetings to realize that they were not who they purported to be. And I asked him particularly, specifically, because Phyllis Schlafly played a huge role back in the 70s when she founded Eagle Forum. Betty was exposing Phyllis Schlafly for who she was, because she said there were so many wonderful and sincere women who were politically active and who were really, really getting some work done. And suddenly out came Eagle Forum, and she said one by one these women began to join Eagle Forum, and then the outcry was silenced. That was why I that lead article in that section, Who Silenced the Outcry, that was Betty's phrase, because during the 80s, just about nothing was getting done. You just didn't hear anything. And it was because the Council for National Policy, all of these people who are members, and they have these huge organizations. They have a button for everybody's. In other words, if one person's thing is gun control, you got Gun Owners of America, you got Citizens Committee for the Right to Bear Arms, the Second Amendment Foundation, that's Alan Gottlieb, and GOA, Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt, he's a member of the CMP, and so is Alan Gottlieb. If somebody is for pro-life, it's Eagle Forum, et cetera. So there's a bell or a button for everybody's interest, and there's so many of them, and their functions are so broadly spread out. And, my mind gets going so fast, Mark. Sometimes I talk myself into almost a cul-de-sac. Where did I want to go from here?
Let's take LaHaye for a second.
I don't know a whole lot about him.
Well, the thing about LaHaye that comes to mind for me is, of course, he has authored co-authored this series on eschatology in recent years, this Left Behind series, which talks about the pre-tribulational rapture from the dispensationalist point of view. LaHaye is quite clearly very closely linked with powerful forces in the Christian right that are aligned with the Zionist state of Israel.
Yep.
That comes up very significantly. Just in terms of isolating LaHaye for a moment, can we say that the Council for National Policy, in terms of the role it plays among many of the most high-ranking members of the Christian right in the United States, is essentially an organization that would be consistent with Zionist goals, and that
yes.
People who belong to the Council for National Policy, for that reason, take a different position in the main on the state of Israel from what you would find, say, at American Free Press?
Yeah. Yes. However, there still has to be opposition. And you know, when I began, I don't know if you read the article that I wrote on Who Silenced the Outcry?
Not yet, no.
Okay, well, what I did is I shared my own personal experience in all of the letters, I mean, all of the writings that I got. I started getting this mail. Oh, we need your help. We need your help. We need your help. And please send us donations so we can, we can contact more people. And then there was always a thing in there that you could sign and send to your congressman or your U.S. senator and the president. Here's one of the signals, one of the clues. They constantly take people's eye off the ball, off from local and state government, and you're always supposed to be contacting someone in the federal government, when actually many of those laws that are implemented in the U.S. Congress, for example, the gun laws, the Brady Bill, that only applied, and it was right in the Brady Bill itself, I found it. It only applied to Washington, D.C. and territories and possessions of the U.S. And that's when it suddenly, I began to awaken and said, wait a minute. If you look at Clause 17 of the Constitution, I think it's Clause 17, it says that the U.S. Congress shall make all laws whatsoever for all the territories and possessions of the U.S. So they'll pass a gun bill, and then it doesn't really apply to the states. But then you find out that the states will begin implementing the same law, even though it's unconstitutional. But unless the state implements it, and I found that in the Brady Bill at the end of the bill, it was a little one, and it said that any state that did not implement this by the whatever the sunset clause, the period of time was, they weren't going to get the extra money for more police on the street. And I thought, wait a minute. That means that the states, this doesn't apply to the states. And they can't mandate to the states. And I called up D.C. because, you see, because of all the letters I got, I thought that's where it was. That's where our attention had to be focused. And I can tell you that I owned a business at the time. And I began to awaken, not the way I'm awake today, but I began to awaken. I became concerned. didn't know what to do. So every time I opened my mail, I got my checkbook out. And I would say, Father, thank you. I don't know what to do, but at least I can do this. I can support these wonderful groups that are our watchdogs in government. And when Betty found this out, when we talked and I told her about it, she must have laughed for days. She said, I'm not making fun of you, but this is how slick and diabolical they are. And so we find out that, oh, now I didn't even answer your question, did I, Mark?
That's all right. You're doing fine.
Yeah, I know, but I just keep getting ahead of myself. I want to share something with you. Oh, the letters. Okay, I've got a thing here. In fact, it's in our website, and I quoted this in that article, Who Silenced the Outcry? Alan Gottlieb is a CMP member. And Alan Gottlieb and one of his cohorts wrote a book. And in the book, it's called Trashing the Economy. And it was co-authored by Committee for the Defense of the Right to Whatever.
It's out in Washington State.
CDFE, Vice President Ron Arnold. Here's what they said. This is the kind of direct mail they sent, and this is exactly what it did. I had to get my checkbook out. They said the message of the direct mail letter must appeal to three basic emotions, fear, hate, and revenge. That sounds like the Old Testament, doesn't it?
Yes.
The fundraising mailer must present you with a crisis. A problem won't do. That crisis must frighten you. If you are not frightened, you won't send money. And then the direct mail letter must present you with a boogeyman against whom to focus your anger. Once you've been frightened and made to hate the boogeyman, the successful direct mail appeal must offer you a way to get revenge against the boogeyman, the payoff for your contribution. The more soul-satisfying the revenge, the better the letter pulls. All this must be dressed up in an appeal that appears to have a high moral tone, but which, without you realizing it, works on your lower emotions. And Gottlieb had made the statement that all he had to do was send a letter, and the money poured in like opening a faucet. And I was one of them.
Yes, and I'm sure that at one time in my life, going back many years ago, I would have been one of them as well. I mean, I remember, for example, I'm going to say it was in the late 1970s. I, at that time, had graduated from college and had been a part of the Reagan movement in the Republican Party. And I started getting these letters from an outfit called Western Goals, which at that time, as I understand it, was run primarily by the late Larry McDonald, the Democratic congressman from Georgia, who lost his life in the KAL shootdown in 1983, some years after the time frame that I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
But this Western Goals organization was, based purportedly in anti-communism and, fighting the Soviet Union worldwide and so forth and all of that kind of thing. Certainly appealed to me, but in reading now about the Western Goals Foundation, it seems to be in some respects linked up with this Council for National Policy.
It is, and I think on behalf of Larry, what's his name, did you say?
McDonald.
Larry McDonald. I read a report that was put out, and I called, actually, Jesse Helms' office to confirm this. They would never call me back. They said they were going to get back with me, and they never did. Jesse Helms, is he still alive? I don't know if he is or not.
I believe he is, yes.
I sent hundreds of dollars to his donate. I lived in Illinois. He was in North Carolina. But, I'd get these letters, and they'd say, I thought, my God, Jesse Helms is the only one up there that's really standing up for us. And I sent one time such a large donation, I got invited to a luncheon in Washington, D.C. But Larry, according to this report, I believe that Larry McDonald was ready to expose. I believe he may have been duped. Maybe he was a good guy, because people are duped by them. But anyway, according to this report, they said that they believed that Larry McDonald was alive, that his plane made a safe belly landing, if you would, there, and that he was being held in the Soviet Union. Now, here was the way they explained it. He and Jesse Helms were both scheduled on that same plane. And at the last minute, Jesse Helms, I don't know that this is true, but this is what the report said. At the last minute, Jesse Helms canceled his flight and said he'd take the next one. And
that was being reported even in the mainstream press at the time.
Okay. And then the plane goes down. And they actually had contacted Jesse Helms' office and presented enough evidence that they believed that Larry McDonald was still alive and being held as a prisoner, and that they said that Helms' office, somebody in Helms' office, said that they wanted Helms, you know, to set up an investigation. It never happened, of course. So there are people working for these individuals that maybe it takes them a while to wake up to that they're working for the opposition.
Yes. We will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Jackie Petru of SweetLiberty.org when we return. Stay tuned.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
we're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Jackie Petru of SweetLiberty.org, talking about other things, the Council for National Policy. We have a caller, Keith in Indiana. You're on the line for Jackie Petru. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mark. I wanted to offer one quick correction. I think the figure that your guest gave, and I'm sorry, I forgot the first name.
Jackie,
yes. 1.3 trillion was 3.1 trillion and has gone up.
Oh.
Rumsfeld announced it. Chump change anyway.
Dobbs-Bockheim.
Right. But when they buy a bond and they issue the currency and put it to the, you know, at the Federal Reserve Bank, it's recorded as an asset. But it's a note, the debt instrument. It's a liability.
Yes.
If we paid off our national debt, there'd be zero currency. So we have, anyway, but it was designed to fail. It was Esau destroying Jacob. This is, was prophesied 3,800 years ago in Isaiah 27. More than that, I just there's an interesting verse in Luke 16 in the parable that I have not heard rightly divided by any dispensational pastor. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he has done wisely, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That word generation is family or race. Esau married into that race. The struggle, really, the antagonist of the Bible is Esau, Edom, the Edomite, Mount Seir in prophecy 2. And, of course, the hero or the ones to be saved are Jacob and Israel. That's the classic struggle. If you read the conspiracy Psalm 83, Ishmael's joined on to them. Have you ever noticed how many of the Arabs look exactly like the Ashkenazi Jews?
Yeah.
They're cousins. They're a wolf pack. They'll destroy each other to get to the top, and then they'll work out their plan, and then they'll work together like wolves to kill the quarry, and then they'll fight again after they get the quarry over who's going to eat the most of it. These people are evil. Christ looked at them right in John 8 and said, "Why do you not understand me, even because you cannot hear me?" These are not people who won't hear him. Are God's people. We won't hear them. We could hear them. These people cannot hear them. The Word of God has no place in them. And they are much wiser. After all, they are the seed of the serpent. The church doesn't believe Genesis 3:15 as it's written. There were two seed lines. Seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. If there was a real Abraham and a real Christ, there must be a real seed of the devil. They will not accept that fact. Yet it's as clear as can be in the foundational parable of the Bible, Matthew 13, parable of the wheat and the tares. And you know what I love about Christ? He made it so clear. Most of the parables we have to struggle to learn, but this one, he just laid it out. All those thousands that went to hear the Sermon on the Mount, they went there for the show. They didn't really want to understand. But the disciples, they went and asked, "Tell us about the parable of the wheat and the tares." And he just lays it out. The enemy who sowed this seed is the devil. Just believe God.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Friends of freedom and liberty, our constitutional republic is under a vicious attack by the sinister forces of world globalization. The hour is late, and we must all actively engage our families, friends, and neighbors before it's too late. Now you can exercise your constitutional right of free speech with a statement t-shirt from the Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Wearing a statement t-shirt causes people to think, challenge, and debate what they've been spoon-fed by the controlled corporate media. There's no time to sit around in fear asking yourself, what can I do? Now is the time to make a strong public statement with one of the many t-shirts from Republic Broadcasting Network and NoTyranny.com. Go to RBNLive.com's Freedom Store, NoTyranny.com, or call 800-724-2719.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.